broadcasting from the not-so-secret underground lair here in Weirdoville. So put on your foil helmets, accept the offer you can't refuse, because you just entered our cinematic world of going to Hollywood.
Dude, I got to tell you, man, this next movie or this movie that we're going to be talking about, I got to say, I really, really love this movie. I just rewatched it today. And my God, do I love it, man. I love it even more. It just gives me nostalgia. It makes me feel good.
100%.
And honestly, I think it kind of ties into the holiday because, to the holiday, what we're talking about is Thanksgiving. Kind of ties into it.
Well, it kind of does. You know, it's I don't even know if I would officially classify it as a Thanksgiving movie, but
right,
I feel like it's kind of become kind of a Thanksgiving tradition. Yeah, of doing a movie that features one of our favorite comedic actors, John Candy.
Yes, so he's the man's incredible. Incredible.
Absolutely miss that guy. Welcome to Going to Hollywood, everybody. I'm JD. With me is the Ghost. Usually we have a little bit of some kind of, you know, intro banter to, you know, but we were just like, no, we just got to go in. Just like,
we got to go right in.
We got to go right in, man. We're right talking in, man. Uncle Buck. Everyone's Uncle Buck, favorite man. Fucking uncle. And you know what? Like I said up top, you know, we definitely like to do a John Candy movie around Thanksgiving. So this is this is our loosen the belt. Eat the pie episode.
It really is, man. I love that we picked John Candy. This man is just so fucking wholesome. It's undeniable, man. I love everything about this man. And I will say this, probably a little controversial, but fuck it. I think that this is probably my favorite John Candy movie.
Really?
Yes. When it comes to John Candy, wow. Period. Now, John Hughes, that's a different direction. We're going to talk about
the director. Hold on. You got to think. Okay, are you talking about just John Candy in a full lead role, or are you talking about featuring John Candy?
No, full lead role. Well, no, both.
Actually. Because you got to consider Spaceballs.
I like Uncle Buck better as a role himself.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I like Spaceballs better, but.
You like Barf better than Uncle Buck?
I love Barf. Barfolomew.
You are Barf, dude. You're fucking Barf. I love
it. I'm Lone Star, bitch.
Bitch, you are fucking Barf. I am Lone Star.
You ain't Lone Star.
Lone Star.
Lone Star.
Anyway, John Candy is super wholesome, dude. Literally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love him. He makes this movie, this whole movie. Without this man, if it was anybody else, I wouldn't fucking believe it. I really wouldn't. This bum fucking 49-year-old man, bum. Well, what did he say? How would you feel if your unemployed bum uncle shaved your head the next couple of days? We'll get into the lines, ladies and gentlemen, the quotes in this movie.
I mean, here's my thing is like, you know, he's just got a magic to him. Like, he's just.
He does.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I would say Chris Farley was the same way on a different level, but, you know, definitely very, very similar.
So 100%.
Take us into this movie then. Let's talk about it. So you got the numbers on this one?
So Uncle Buck domestically, this is worldwide. Oh, shit. Worldwide made $66 million in 89. This came out August 18th, 89. It opened at 8.7 million in 1800 theaters. Universal released this shit and they banked it. This was all on John Candy. It's on top. Even his name is larger than the fucking title of the movie, man. John Candy is the poster man for this. And this, he was killing
it. It's kind of funny. It's like the Hollywood elite kind of leaving Candy out, like just like leaving Candy out, like, but like for all
double entendre, dude,
but like for all of us, just leaving the candy out. It's like, hey,
I love it.
We got candy.
I love
it. And we're all just like, I want some candy.
I fucking love you. I love you for that. That was great. That was fucking great. But yeah, let's get into this movie. This movie is incredible, man. It starts off. It's with the family. You want to break down the family.
Before we totally start it off, I think we should ask a question. I think we should try to ask a question is how can we justify this as a Thanksgiving movie?
That's a good question. Well, look, it dropped in August 18th.
So like right in time for
That time. Yeah. It is actually set, I believe it or not, in the movie in Illinois, actually in Winnetka, which was filmed where it's Home
always,
Alone was filmed.
It's always Winnetka. It was actually filmed in the same house. Filmed in the same house as Home Alone.
Was it?
It was. It was filmed in the exact same house.
That was those two houses. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I had no
You've actually proof. Seen the Uncle Buck house. If you notice, there's like a part where I can't remember if it's one of the kids or if it's like somebody turns down the same street that Kevin turns down.
That is, I think it's,
you know, that neighborhood shot, the same one from Home Alone.
I think it might be the same neighborhood. I don't think it's the same house.
All right. I'm not 100%. Correct us if we're wrong.
If there's anything right, correct us if we're wrong, but I think it might be just the neighborhood, not the actual house.
I'm pretty sure it's the actual house, but that's up for debate.
Yes.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
No. Continue.
No, it starts off so you can tell it's cold outside in Illinois, November, end of November for Thanksgiving. It would feel like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels the same way as, and I hate to bring this movie up because it is a Thanksgiving movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which we did last year.
It feels the same. And that might be a contributing factor as to why Candy feels so right. In this kind of time period, the part where we're not quite to Christmas is on the air. You know, we're hearing Christmas tunes and we might even be watching some Christmas movies, but it's still not quite there. We still have Thanksgiving and he just fits in so well with that.
He does, man. It's that pureness that John Candy has. Even when he punches the fucking clown in the movie, which we'll get in shortly.
I love that part.
It's just pureness, but this is ladies and gentlemen, this is a Thanksgiving special, and we're not just going to, obviously at the end, you'll get our review, and we want to just look in depth into this movie. Let's just break it down and what we love, and I just want to glorify this fucking movie, because I think it deserves it, dude.
Exactly. Same. I feel the exact same way. So let's start with Uncle Buck himself. Let's start with the character. So I feel like it's a typecast thing, obviously. But Candy plays a fuck up so well.
God, does he, dude. He really does. But then he also plays a good coach that trains a bobsledding team. So he plays everything, dude.
He can do anything. He's also helped Lone Star with the Schwartz. So
he did. With the Schwartz. But no.
And he also got Mrs. McAllister home.
He did. Christmas. He fucking did.
Man. And actually, I've got a theory about that.
I'm gonna sprinkle that into
this episode later. I think it's gonna freak you the fuck out, though.
Please tell me at the end.
Yeah.
However, I do love that he is so pure in this movie, even though he's a fuck up. Because he is, and they all hate him. And the mom, and the mom pisses me off. And the mom and daughter fucking relationship is annoying as shit. The Tia relationship.
Well, okay, but hold on. I mean, let's talk about the Tia relationship. Tell me what irritates you about it. Like, what is it that bothers
you?
She's
a scumbag to this man for no reason. And I believe it's because her mom got into her fucking head. This is a stupid scumbag. He's a fuck up, blah, blah, blah. So she treats him like shit. She shouldn't. Uncle Buck, get to know your uncle before.
I see what you're saying, but I think I disagree with you. I don't think she got in her head. I think she was already in, like, okay, have you never dealt with a teenage girl?
I was a teenage boy at one
you
point
were a teenage
a
boy but that
never,
doesn't
like
that doesn't
that
mean
adult,
that doesn't mean
no.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. When you're when you're in it, you're part of it. You're part of, you know, you're the port in the storm because you're another 17 year old. But when you're actually 17 and you're not happy with your whole situation. She was kind of pissed off because they moved, which is a common trope in comedy movies where they talk about she's mad because Indianapolis they'd move from to Chicago.
They went to
it's Chicago in the thing. It's I know it's filmed in Winnetka, but
It's filmed in Winnetka, but they went to Indianapolis, which was still would be cold. It's irrelevant.
The whole thing is like at that point, she's a teenage girl and she's pissed off at the world. So her cool uncle, I mean, like, we know him as Uncle Buck, but he's just a fucking authority figure as far as she's concerned.
I know, but look, hear me out. Would you approach your uncle, even though you didn't like him, and knowing who you are, would you approach him like a scumbag the way she did?
No, but I mean,
the movie.
Here's the thing.
Not.
Okay, here's the thing. I think I'm pretty sure I was a shithead when I was a teenager. We all were.
Right.
But I was a different kind of shithead. I wasn't the so I can't really relate. I can't totally relate to you. I'm not gonna lie, but I wasn't the kind of shithead of like, I'm just mad at everybody. I was the know-it-all shithead.
Hey, but it's which okay.
I feel like everybody can kind of see that.
which is fine. Tia is just the scumbag. And I do love the way her and Uncle Buck in the end, obviously.
Of course. Know, well, and that's part
build
of
it up. And that's the whole movie.
That right there is part of it, because that makes part of the story a coming of age story.
It is.
And, you know, I think, you know, like, you know, you having the reaction you have to Tia, I think is actually pretty indicative of how well she pulled it off. Cause
she pulled it off well.
She did. She pulled it off outstandingly. Like she was perfect for it. But like everybody has to go through whatever they have to go through to like, you know, like, okay. So like her parents had let her down, both parents, you know, or just by being not, you know, not present or whatever, not caring about her thoughts and feelings, but Buck came through.
He did.
And that made the difference. She saw him making the effort. It's the same as like when you got a cat and the cat, like, I mean, the cat's just not going to like anybody. You got to like earn the trust.
And you know what? Now that I rewatched the movie, it's fresh on my mind. There's actually a scene where she realizes and kind of starts thinking like, Uncle Buck is not wrong about Bug.
Exactly.
Bug's a motherfucker.
Bug is a son of a bitch.
Bitch, yeah.
He needs to be squashed.
Yeah, in that, right. So yeah. Where do you want to start? We broke down Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck's pure soul. He's a fuck up, but he's great.
All right, let's look at the rest of the characters, okay? So I've actually got two theories here I'm going to throw at you.
Okay.
The first one I'm going to throw at you early, okay? So I think it's possible Buck and Del Griffith are the same person.
How do you say that?
All right.
Oh, man, that makes... Hold on. Oh, where are you going with this, dude?
All right. So what was the... What was
it? Why would you... Why didn't you... Oh, okay, you didn't want to wait until the end. Now I know why.
I got another one. I got a whole nother theory. This is two theories.
You think he's Del Griffith?
I think he's Del Griffith. If this theory...
You think he's Del Griffith?
Yes. If this theory exists already, I don't know about it. If that's, you know, if this is not an original thought, that's fine.
Okay.
But check it out. I'm still going with it. So what was the fiance's name? Charisse?
Charisse, yes.
Okay. So they spend part of his plot was kind of solidifying his place in her life. You know, like she was like on him about getting his shit together, get a job. You know, she wants to get married. She wants to build her life with him. Right. But he had to fix some shit first. Okay. So by the end of it, we all know how it happened. We don't have to worry about spoilers. The movie is older than most of the other people listening.
You should
so
be like,
it is what really? It is. Stop now if you don't want any.
Stop it now.
But okay, so by the end of his arc, him and Charisse were headed towards that. They were headed towards marriage. They were headed towards building the family.
Right.
Now, what happened to Del's wife off screen?
Well, Del's wife died.
Exactly. So what if Charisse died and Del started and Buck started drifting, changed his name? It would make sense that he was heading back to Chicago.
Man, that is fucking crazy. And if anybody that doesn't know, we're talking about Del Griffith. Del Griffith is from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Funny that you brought him up.
We're talking
last year. Yeah. We did this episode. And exactly. I love that fucking connection, dude. That tickled my ass for real.
Wow. Ew. I mean, we're talking about what are they? The shower curtain ring sales? We're talking
shower
about
curtain ring salesman Del Griffith. Fucking
what was his watch? It was a Timex. Was it a Timex?
Oh, is there, I have a Timex. Was it a Timex?
I think it was a Timex. It was some like shitty brand. That's what we're talking about. I could see those two being the same person.
Wow.
Here's another thing too, is I feel like he was a little bit more self-destructive. Del was more self-destructive.
Oh yeah.
Which would stand to reason. You know, he's kind of gone through all this stuff. Obviously there was things like with the family. So, I mean, it makes sense that he wouldn't go back to his family right away, his brother and sister-in-law, because there's some unfinished shit there. So he goes on the road, changes his name to Del.
Are you connecting A John Hughes fucking universe. Yep. JD, the universe creator.
That's right. I am.
God, dude, if this podcast actually blows up. Like, yeah, the Hughesiverse.
The Hughesiverse.
If this podcast actually blows up and people are like, Hughesiverse, God, it's like, oh, shit.
We are taking that now. Hashtag Hughesiverse.
Hashtag shit and put that shit on Instagram, Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, which would make all of the other ones connected too. Ferris Bueller's connected. Yeah, I could probably find. Yeah, I mean, Home Alone, they're all in the same universe, but those two particularly.
My God, Home Alone as well. Like, he can be like, he's with the band. He's like been depressed. Dell is now with a band. And
so, check that out.
Going to Kenosha for
Iowa. Check that out. We'll take it to a third one here. Okay.
What's a third one?
All right. So, check it out. So, after he had the experience with Neil in Planes, Trains, Automobiles, right? He then gets his shit together. Launches the Kenosha Kickers.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yes. Lies about having hits in the 70s.
Fuck yes. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are connecting.
We have just done fucking a three-part connection.
This is some Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but John Hughes fucking universe.
And the best part about you mentioning that reference is it only takes 1 degree to get to Kevin.
That's fucking great. No, I love that. That actually literally makes me even more happy now. That's incredible. Buck, we just connected Uncle Buck. Well, you did. You connected Uncle Buck to three fucking.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort.
It was great.
I have another theory, but I'm going to wait till the end of the show for that one because I think that one's going to really fuck with you.
Well, let's get into this movie then. Uncle Buck starts off immediately with the kids. You get to know the kids. Uncle Buck comes over because Uncle Buck's brother, the father of the children. Mm-hmm. His wife, the mom, her father has a heart attack. God damn it. I just went.
That was way too complicated.
That was way too fucking.
You were too specific, too. It doesn't even like somebody had a heart attack. The heart attack was a MacGuffin. It was just to get the plot rolling.
Just to get the parents the fuck out of the house. No one gave a fuck about grandpa. Nobody mentioned grandpa once.
Didn't even have a like. Okay, I
want to go see Grandpa.
The little old lady and the husband that gave up too early in Home Alone, they had more of a role in this whole thing than Grandpa. Grandpa wasn't even shown.
And Grandpa is the trigger of this full fucking arc. Like, the main character cannot turn back. Mattered.
He was a full-on MacGuffin. Full-on MacGuffin.
Total MacGuffin, dude. Jesus.
Now, I think we also glossed over the kids. We got to remember the kids, too, because one of the kids, at least, was extremely important. This is how Macaulay Culkin got his start.
Right. Exactly right. And that's how they found him. And that's because of this movie, he got Home Alone, which, I mean, there's
kind of a domino effect there, too. I mean, you know, you're talking Home Alone, you're talking about all the movies he's done, but you're also talking about the careers that the other Culkin kids have, you know, made out of it. I mean, you got Kieran, you got Rory. One of them, I can't remember if it was Kieran or Rory. I think it was Rory, was recently in that movie, Lords of Chaos, about the black metal movement in Norway and all the murders.
Yeah. Very nice.
Pulled that shit off. So, I mean, yeah, domino effects starting with this movie.
No, absolutely. And it's great. It started off a lot of careers. I think Macaulay Culkin absolutely kills it in this movie. He is a scumbag kid that nuts. He's fucking nuts. Great, dude. He's great.
How many consecutive questions can you ask in a row? 28. 30. I'm a kid. That's my job.
I love it. I'm a kid. That's my job.
I'm a kid.
You have more nose hair in your you have more hair in your nose than my dad.
Thanks for noticing.
Nice of you to notice it. I love it. No, it's great. Their whole dynamic, Uncle Buck with the kids, except for Tia till the end, is great. But Tia makes sense because he helps her out with the whole subplot of the boyfriend. And
she's got she's got like the main stuff going on. The kids, I mean, they pretty much fall in line. The kids have like the one situation like with the girl where she wasn't paying attention and he stepped in. But the kids were mostly like on board. They were like, absolutely. He's cool. He's all right. No, also, interesting thing before we move past this part. In the first like 10 minutes, they say the word shit at least six times.
Five times at least. Yeah. Five, six times. Yeah.
It's funny because the movie's rated PG. So like the rating system back then, it was definitely a little bit more lax.
It was right before the whole aspect because Jaws was PG and then Jaws was changed to rated R now. Obviously. But they it's 89, I think early 90s is when that changed.
Yeah.
When the PG-13. It was Spielberg that changed it. But
what was Planes, Trains? What was that rated? Was that 13? PG-13?
Let's see. I have it right in front of me. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a pure rated R, baby.
Okay.
Of course it is.
That makes sense because they did how many F-bombs?
Like 19 in one row. So
yeah,
you can only get two.
I think with PG-13, like there's certain, at least through like, I'm thinking through Titanic, you could say the word fuck once and you can have like one pair of tits.
They opted.
But real quick.
It's fuck twice, shit unlimited, bitch and ass unlimited.
For PG?
For PG-13.
For PG-13, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
For PG, it's ass once, damn once, I think. And I think you can squeeze in one little shit one time.
I don't
PG,
know if you can anymore.
I don't think you can anymore, though. You're right. But it doesn't matter.
I think
Uncle Buck was PG-13.
It was PG.
Was it PG? Okay, then. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that when I was starting it up, actually, because like I did it on Prime, and
yes.
I'm watching it. I was like, PG, like that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Like, because they kind of get into like... jumping ahead a little bit, they kind of get into a couple of like they tackle more adult situations than Hughes usually does here. One that I think is like, you know, probably started gaining a lot more traction nowadays than it did back then, but you know, the boyfriend pushing Tia to go further than she wanted to.
Correct.
It's a very early
problem.
Yeah, well, it's a very early like situation of like exploring that in film.
Yeah, yeah,
it wasn't
yeah,
really
yeah. No, and it was explored. Good. You did it well.
Yeah, I agree.
It was done, and we'll get into it here in a couple minutes. It was done really well. But regarding the whole buildup with the kids and getting to the point, and even in the bowling alley, I don't want to get too much into the movie, but even in the bowling alley, there's a sequence with Tia and this scumbag named Pal, and the way they fucking, their interaction, it was, and Uncle Buck technically saves her. It's one of the start of their relationship, and it's done really well.
A little bit of interesting, I can't remember the actor's name, the guy that played Pal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go totally
off.
He was
in Beyond Belief.
He was in a bunch of things. He was on Beyond Belief. He was on, what's that show? Shameless. You know that show, Shameless?
Shameless. You've told me about Shameless. Yes.
He's one of the, he's like one of the kids' dads, and he's a total scumbag. But here's something else. This guy played a role. I'm going totally off track on this one. He played a role in a thing called Cop Rock. Okay. Now, Cop Rock was like a procedural police drama back in the 90s, right? I think it was like 1990. Okay.
Okay.
But the gimmick was it's a police show like Law and Order or whatever, you know, NYPD Blue.
Sure.
But it's also a musical.
What in the fuck?
And this guy played a
tough
character.
Turf.
No. Worse than Tough Turf. Listen to that episode, by the way. Worse than Tough Turf in the fact that they were singing as if like a legitimate musical. So like the only reason I know about it is because like my sister sent me the sequence where they're having like the meeting, like, you know, in the morning, like, you know, check in and the police chief starts just singing a fucking tune. Let's be careful out there. Let's be careful out. But this guy, the guy that played Pal, played a character called the Baby Merchant.
Interesting.
So they like the cops went undercover. I have this the complete series.
I see.
My sister
God
got it.
Damn it,
me,
you nerd!
I love it so much.
It's okay. This is why I love you.
There's so much in this. It's so bad, but it's so good. But like he's singing a song, basically like all excited about being a human trafficker. I'm the baby merchant, tops are us. You remember? And no damn bus. That guy, the guy that played Pal, singing that fucking song, and he sung it himself.
I want to apologize to everyone listening to this. How fucking off topic we got, but I love this man so much.
This is a Thanksgiving episode.
Yes,
it's laid back. It's loose.
It is. We're all over the place in
the
Thanksgiving episode, and I kind of love it because that's what happens during Thanksgiving dinner. People talk and just talk all over kind of shit everywhere.
But you know what? In the interest of keeping it professional, take us back into Uncle Buck.
But no, it's the whole buildup with the kids until they even through the, like I said, the bowling alley scene. They meet the pal guy. He's a scumbag, blah, blah, blah. They get their characters get built. And I love that about this movie, the way that it progresses with Every sequence is something. Even the fuck. Can we talk about the clown, please?
Can we
talk about the? I'm the guy.
I'm the guy. I love the clown. I love the clown.
Is you know one of the best parts.
This is like again, like Uncle Buck is like a puppy.
He is.
He's gonna do everything for his pack.
Yes.
Like I mean, protected Tia from Pal. Sure. And then this fucking clown shows up drinking. And he's there to protect again. So it's like, again, he's just showing maybe protection. He doesn't have his shit together, but he's a good guy at heart.
Super good guy. I mean, the whole sequence with the clown is just, it's crazy. It's like, in the home entertainment, I'm a god.
I'm a god.
I'm like, really, man? Shut the fuck up. He's like, you never touched shit, you Mother Teresa? He's like, well, no, of course I touch it, but I wouldn't.
Not when I'm around kids.
Yeah. He's like, if you got a dildo joke, I'm the guy. I fucking love that. I don't know who the fucking actor is, but I love that fucking guy. He's incredible.
I just love the idea of like a drunk clown showing up at a birthday party.
Like, only John Hughes would write some shit like this, though, dude. I fucking love John Hughes. Can we bring up John Hughes, please?
Before we do, you know, I have been a clown at a birthday party, right?
What?
You didn't know that?
What? What did you just say? You were not a fucking clown.
I was. And you know what? My cousin Liam, if you're listening, you better fucking remember that shit, man. Remember what I did for you.
Give us the deets about this shit, because my God, I need to know about this man being a fucking clown.
My wife and I go down to North Carolina, where they're at, right? And it was Liam's birthday. He was young. He was a wee little guy. I think he was maybe 7. I can't totally remember. He's full on, like he's an adult now. Fucking rocks on guitar and shitty fucking rules.
Awesome.
My cousins are awesome. But I get down there. My Aunt Linda. You know Aunt Linda.
I know Aunt Linda.
You don't
her.
Fuck with Aunt Linda, right? You know you about don't. That. She just tells me, you're going to be a clown for Liam's party. I'm like, what?
That's fucking good. So you had an Uncle Buck moment, dude.
I did.
You had an Uncle Buck. Yeah. That's fucking great. I kind of
like,
love it.
Yeah. Like Trina can tell you, man, like of me, like just fucking painting, like she painted my face up like a clown and I went and clowned.
It's fucking great. I love it. That's amazing. No, that the whole sequence, honestly, just the whole build up. And when we get to a part of the film where it really is the nitty gritty, it's act 3. The kids have already, they love Uncle Buck. You know, they're trying to fix the whole shit with Shanice.
Even Tia is starting to come around at that point. She's not fully there, but she's starting to.
She is. And it's great. But do you want to break down for them the darkness that's like sprinkled in, which John Hughes did so well. It's
very
so
well with that. Where do you want to start with that? Like, because there's a couple instances of that.
It's a couple of times where it happens. John Hughes sprinkles in not abuse or not even, I don't want to say the R word. I'm not talking about rape particularly, but.
Well, no, you're talking about with Bug. You're talking about with Bug.
With Bug, yes.
I would say that falls under, if you want it, the proper nomenclature, I believe that falls under rape culture. By the way, Natalie and Dina from Tolerated would be proud of us that we...
Awesome. So that's rape culture. Yeah, that's definitely rape culture. Like it gives rapey vibes, and he's... And they sprinkle into that, and they really go in depth at the end. If you're younger, you might not know, you might not get it, what's happening. But at the end, Uncle Buck goes to a party to save Tia.
Yeah.
And breaks into a room
Break down about how good those shots were too, because they're doing this like back and forth sequence of Buck going to the party, going through the party trying to find it. But then they're also doing these scenes of like Buck pressuring the girl.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying no. She keeps saying, I don't want to. And he just keeps ignoring her, like, just relax.
Bug don't want to. And we're talking about Bug, not Buck.
Bug. The Bug.
Like Bug Spray.
The Bug Spray.
Bug Spray from now on.
Bug Spray. All right. Yeah. So Bug Spray is fucking. No, hold on. We can do worse than that. What else can we do?
No, he actually calls him that in the movie. He's like, okay. Last name. Spray.
Spray. All right. So Bug Spray is fucking pressuring this girl. And it's pretty uncomfortable. Like,
he really is. It's done so well, dude. They really John Hughes hit that.
They go back and forth, and he's sort of like the part where Buck is walking around the party. I loved his energy.
He's very calm and collected because he knows if he fucks up, they'll kick him out.
Well, no,
who the fuck is this guy?
I think it was. That's not how I read it. I read it as more. more like, oh, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy teaching this little fucker a lesson. And he's just literally walking around. Hey,
seriously,
hey, anybody see bug? Anybody see the bug? Where's the bug at? You see the bug?
Where's Bug's hat?
Ah, oh, that's my hat. Give me my hat.
Yeah, he
hat.
Even
that's
takes his
hat.
Fucking like when he takes the hat, which I think is just, I think that's ad lib. Because it looks way too authentic.
It looks so natural.
It
looks so
natural. It was way too natural, man. Yeah. And it's great. The whole buildup there is fantastic. He gets to the top, man, and he does something so badass that it actually, funny, just sidebar here, they made a trailer of Uncle Buck as a horror movie.
They chopped up
the trailer, and they used that sequence, and it fits so well. It's like, I'm fucking coming to Uncle Buck.
Oh, dude, if you put the right music on that, you could make you could do that awesomely.
They did. So and he's just right there is where you fall in love with Uncle Buck because he saves not just.
Oh, I was already there.
I know. But he doesn't just save Tia. He saves another girl because.
And that was interesting. That was an interesting reveal. And that's why I purposely didn't say Tia when I was talking about that. I just said the girl. Because it was revealed that it was a different girl.
Yeah.
And I like the way you're putting that because like he didn't stop. Did you notice that? Like he kind of like looked around.
He didn't stop. Like he's pushing her arms in.
And then, but then like, well, he's standing there. He's got that look on his face, and then he just big smile, turns it on. It's like, well,
turns the light off, and
I'm still gonna fuck you up, buddy. Like
it's fucking great, dude. It's amazing. I'm glad that I'm still wondering because I saw this shit in like '94 for the first time in German. Which, by the way. When I saw it in English, I'm like, oh my God, I love John Candy's actual real voice. The German.
What's he sound
shit.
Like in Germany?
Now, hello, ich bin Uncle Buck. Shit like that. It's just really weird.
I just feel like a German Uncle Buck would be like the worst thing you could possibly have.
It is.
Like,
it is.
I'm Uncle Buck. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time.
Why is you always make Germans so pissed off?
Germans are pissed off, dude.
Like, they're mad. Nothing bad happened, remember. But no, shit, where do we stop now? You talked about Germans and shit.
My bad. We talked about how he saved the day still, so he saved another girl.
He did.
And that was nice. That was awesome of him. And again, that just shows, you know, he's like, you know, he could tell that she had a panicked look on her face.
She did. She's like, thank you for doing this for me. But let's just mention what happens to Bug Spray, which is amazing. I love what they did. And Tia even loved it. Like, that's where it's just pure bliss. It's Uncle Buck and Tia. They love each other now. He is like,
they're on the same team. They're vibing.
Yes. I loved how they're like, I'm gonna fucking sue you. And he just fucking hits the goddamn golf ball right on his head.
Also, that is tough to do.
It is.
Like, have you ever gone golfing? That is like, dude, like the aim on that
putt.
Nah, that shit, dude, that shit is tough. My golf course, we have a driving range and there's like this metal, like tin thing. I've never hit the fucking thing.
That's fucking great.
My aim is terrible. I'm not a great golfer either. So.
No, Bug, he fucking ties him up, puts him in his fucked up little shitty car that has this muffler that doesn't work, that literally is a nuclear bomb at the end.
Well, it was fucking funny great. Too, because they also mentioned earlier, they kind of set it up for that very, very briefly. If you blink, you miss it, where he's like, yeah, I get to golf all day. What's the problem?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Yes. I loved that. Let me just talk about that just for one second. I loved that Uncle Buck doesn't give a fuck. This is a late man in his late 40s, early 50s. Doesn't have any kids, doesn't have any wife. And I love what he says. You know what? I like my freedom. I like just putting my golf clubs in and just going golfing. I like that. And you and I are kind of in the same boat. We're just like, we're in our mid-30s. So fuck it. You know, I'm heading there. We like our freedom.
Well, except for the fact that we're married.
Well, that's the freedom. I mean, I'm not tied up to my fucking wife, man. Jesus, you're still free. You guys are still. It includes your wife. When I say you're free, which means,
of course,
technically means your wife too, because you're married. But it doesn't matter. Even if you are married, I like that aspect of fuck it, man. I love that.
As a practicing dude, as priest, I mean, fuck it, man. You know, it's in my vocab.
Love it. Dude, can we please review this movie?
Before we do, I
got
to.
Oh, you got another fucking.
I got to give you my theory. All right.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
All right. So check it out. Hermes is the was it? It's Hermes and the other one. What's the fucking, there's the Roman and Greek god of travel. Hermes is one of them. I don't know which one.
Okay.
All right. Loki is a Norse god of mischief, right?
Mischief. Yes.
Okay. So what if like Buck, Del, Barf, Gus Polinski, what if they're actually not human, but they're actually like a combination of travel and mischief gods? They're all the same person, listen, and they're all spiritual people.
JD, you know what just popped up in my head? The South Park episode with M. Night Shyamalan. What if the terrorists are werewolves? That's literally what just popped up.
What if they were werewolves from the future?
Future.
Yeah. No, that's a plot twist. That's the, I don't understand the plot difference. Twist. No,
I don't understand the difference. You don't. I know you don't, M. Night Shyamalan. I fucking love it. That's incredible right there. I can't. I mean, that's weird, but I really like the other one where he's Uncle Buck could be Del because Shanice died.
I do think that. And I'm putting that out as my official theory. Yeah.
And I'm with you. That is incredible.
And possibly dude, Gus Polinski being that person as well.
I've thought about this and I didn't have to take long to think about this, but go ahead, let's hear your review. Go ahead.
No, give me your rating. Dude. Go ahead. Give me yours.
You want me to do it? All right. I honestly, man, I didn't have to think long. I thought about it. I've seen this movie since I was a child. Mm-hmm. I loved it when I was a kid. I love it as an adult. I've just rewatched it 3 hours before we recorded this and I loved it again. Yeah. I cannot stop loving this movie. And it absolutely is an extraterrestrial, dude.
100%. Absolutely. I'm actually fully in agreement with you. It is 100% extraterrestrial. Because here's the thing.
Yes.
It's got pretty much everything. It's got great comedy, memorable characters, memorable laughs. But it's also got the good underlying shit with it. It's very feel good. It's perfect for Turkey Day.
It's great. It's great. It really is. It'll brighten your day. It is a feel good movie. It is John Hughes's. One of John Hughes's best movies. It is John Candy's best movie in a ghost's opinion. But John Hughes literally kills this shit. This is an absolute out of this world. This movie is incredible. If you haven't seen it, what are you waiting for, man?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Get you a giant pancake and get on it.
Yes. Go.
Absolutely. 100%. All right. So this has been our Turkey Day episode. We always like to have candy for Thanksgiving. Yes. So next year, definitely going to have... I don't know what we'll do next year. We'll figure it out. Some kind of
we're gonna do something. It's gonna be because we love candy for Thanksgiving.
We do love candy for Thanksgiving. Exactly. So another thing, I'm not gonna give too much away, but I definitely want everybody at home. Ghosts and I have been plotting, and we've got a big announcement coming soon. Hopefully, it's gonna be out this week. But just stay tuned. We got some cool
big news coming, ladies and gentlemen. Some major changes, but we'll get into more detail regarding the aspects of what we're doing. Let's just sprinkle in maybe some of a rebranding. We don't know. We'll let you guys. We'll keep you updated.
Maybe. Stick around and find out.
Thanks for getting weird with us. Now, are you thirsty for more? Then head on over to our Patreon community, where you can support our podcast by becoming an official Holly Weirdo. But if you're feeling like you just need a little more, become a citizen of Weirdoville, where you will get access to our Going Hollywood Discord community, early access to every episode we drop. Or if you're feeling even weirder, then join our inner circle, where you can get access to our exclusive content, only available on Patreon. Now, wherever you listen to us, make sure you leave us a review, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. It helps us out a lot, and it helps us reach a lot more Holly Weirdos. Also, find us on all socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and for more content, find us on TikTok. Just search Going Hollywood. Links are in the episode description. Email us at gohollywoodpodcast@gmail.com, where you can give us your favorite film theories, request future episodes, and maybe... just maybe be part of an episode as a guest. Thank you all for the amazing support. We hope to see you in Weirdoville, where we always stay weird.